Evening, everybody. I'm a recovered addict named Paulie.
Hey,
family. And being back there is like almost like being in a holding cell. Yeah. Do the same shit. Pace back and forth saying, what the hell happened today? You know? Do a lot of praying. Guy named Peanut Butter and Jelly, they asked me to speak a couple months ago. I said yes. As long as the truck makes it back to Virginia, I'll be here. You know? And they gave me a run yesterday that I didn't think I could complete. So I asked for help and said, listen, I got an engagement. I got a family reunion to go to.
Yeah.
Right? And it worked with me. You know? And I'm looking at my text and I'm saying, you know, what are you going to share about, Paulie? What are you going to say today? And I'm at the main speaker. I'm saying, all right, Friday night, nobody shows up.
Nobody's here, don't worry about it.
But the ironic thing, in 1994, the main speaker was at a place that called it Almost Heaven.
Yeah.
And I have a CD. And for the last couple weeks, I mean, it's in my truck, and I've been listening to it. And I'm like, you know, God, I never know when the message is going to come in. I don't know when I'm going to hear the message. You know, because 99% of the time, I'm all over the place. You know, I got four people over there. Grandpa Jimmy, Glenn D, Gary R., and I call him Little Gary, but he ain't so little. You know, when I knew him, he was Little Gary. But they come down from New Jersey and Pennsylvania. This is the second year down here, and Grandpa made it. You know, and I'm like, when he left me the voicemail saying, I'm going to be there, Paulie, I said, I got these feelings, you know, like, wow, you know, wow. You know, but the first thought, I have to be honest and say, when Mike asked me, I'm like, what do they want from me? You know, and it ain't about what you want from me today. It's about the we thing. You know, I started understanding the we thing. You know, it's like, you know, I tried to do everything in my power to not join you. You know, I remember my first meeting. It was in Dingmans Ferry, Pennsylvania. I went in there, the chairperson. I mean, this is one thing I appreciate and I love today is that, you know, the chairperson is the chairperson, you know, and this message that I was receiving was this was a bunch of crap, it's like sucked and all that stuff, and I'm like, why am I even here? I don't want what you're offering me. And I left. And this guy, Gary R., kept showing up at these meetings. I'm like, what are you following me? The hell is this, you know? But I'll give you a little background on me. I mean, I was going to tell you about my family, but they're not here to defend themselves, so I'm going to leave them at it. I keep coming back for the laughter. But anyways, I was born in Dover, New Jersey. I got five sisters and one brother. Came up through the Vietnam era and all that stuff, and my house was pretty much like a community living. And everything I did after when I grew up, I didn't do anything different than I was doing in my house. You know, some people like to go fast, some people like to see things, you know, and some people just like drooling. But, you know, I didn't do anything different than they were doing. I didn't have to leave my house to do it. I didn't have many friends come over. When I did, they were like, holy shit, you don't have to hide? No, you know. But they stopped. They stopped. And I continued. And I can honestly say today that, you know, the way I got introduced to the fellowship was through a divorce. The woman's name is Diane. I call her Gracie because a lot of years I just say my ex. And out of respect, you know, I tell her by name. And she wanted closure on this relationship. And I was like, whatever, you know, I'm just done. whatever the hell you want to do. So I showed up this place, there was a woman there, and we're talking and whatnot, and he's an addict. He's got to get some treatment. So I figured, all right, let me go try this treatment stuff. And they called it an institution. They didn't call it rehab at the time. I went up to this place. There's this big statue of some woman. I think it was like this Mother Mary lady. And then there was a snowman that was bigger than the statue. But on my way up this hill, there's a dude, probably like six foot, six nine, whatever. A big black guy walking down there. And I saw this snowman, and the thing was huge, you know. And I went in this place, and I was doing it for the wrong reasons, you know. But little by slow, you know, it started to work. You know, it didn't have. I came in 94. I went back out in 94, a couple years out there doing my thing, and it kept getting worse, kept ending up in worse and worse situations. So this guy, Glenn D over here, I asked him to be my sponsor, and he said, yeah. And we started, you know, talking and kicking things and going back and forth, and he basically got me to kind of like tell him some shit that went on. You know, when I was 7 years old, my dad died. He was buried on my 7th birthday. And I was like, self-centeredness, where's my toys? I didn't get no toys. I'm not that tall. But stand on the mic. Is that better? Are you happy to be off this shit? All right. Control, baby. But anyways, you know, I mean, I didn't know what was going on. My mom had lost her daughter before I was born, and I didn't know what was going on. But the house was chaoticness. And I had a resentment with my mother because my dad was buried on my birthday. And that resentment lasted 36 years. And by coming in here, finally, eventually, like I say, the different states, towns, cities, wherever I ended up, I was like, wow, you know, what do I do? And finally, I started hearing, you know, what Glenn was talking to me about. He never gave up hope. He would tell me, you need to call me before you use. That's how it works. You know, I was like, oh, shit, you know. But I have to honestly say that a gentleman who shared that little by slow with me, who's no longer with us, that made sense to me. You know, because it wasn't about where I'd been or what I'd been doing. It was just starting to get a little bit of honesty. Starting to let people know who I was, how I felt about things, because before that I didn't say anything. I ran by myself, I stayed to myself, and that's the way I kind of liked it. You know? But I can honestly say, in this city, states, towns, villages, wherever I've been, and been in Narcotics Anonymous, it's all about that we thing, you know. I have to remove myself and not be like that person, that disagreeable, angry, resentful. I don't have to lie anymore. I don't have to cheat. I don't have to steal. But like I say, this. By coming in here and getting a little bit of knowledge about this journey we're on, you know, I mean, I did the reading part, and I'm like, we're never cured. And I asked Gary, why are we doing it? You know? And he kind of like, yeah, well, that's a good question. But it's being accountable, being a, you know, being a human being, basically. You know, for all these years I was pretending to be what they wanted me to be so I could fit in. I've heard that shared in other places. That geological change, or whatever you want to call it, you know, been there, done that. And it's you know, like Glenn said, what are you going to share about tonight, you know? And they want me to share about last year's camp out. And I'm like, ah, you know, but... are grown. The way I know I'm grown is that, like, my eighth year, I started going through a lot of feelings, a lot of different things, and my two oldest boys moved into the state of Virginia. And it awoke in some of feelings and emotions in me, you know what I mean? Where you know, that I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of Kodak moments in my life. You know, and you people are giving me them Kodak moments now, and it's like, you know, wow, you know, yeah. And things have changed, you know, and I'm like, something's different, and I feel funny, I feel funky, you know, and did the inventory thing, you know. You don't have to just do it during the fourth and fifth step, you know. That inventory, you can do it anytime with any situation, you know. I mean, look at the, you know, so much stuff happens in 24 hours, let alone 5 minutes, you know. It's like, wow, you know, all right, what's different? My boys are in town, my boys live here now. And I just had to just kind of like say, all right, you know, you're their dad. They do love you. Let them love you. And I was like, wow, all right, you know. But anyways, I'm here at this camp out last year, and the camp out's planned for next year right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I told my family that this weekend I'm going to be at this place last year. My son decides to have this sexing party for his child on this Saturday. So I'm like, you know, my first reaction is I'm busy. But then I had to look at it and say, it's not about me. It's about him. And I said, all right, can we do it at like 2:00? And he said, oh, yeah, we agreed on the time. So I'm sitting here and you get caught up in talking and whatnot. And next thing you know, it's 1:45 and I got to be in Vermont at 2:00. I got no cell service here. So I get in the truck and I run there, and it was such an important event for him. And he had faith in me that I was going to be there, that he waited. You know, and I showed up and I was like, you know, and I'm reading this little thing and these tears start coming down my eyes. And Gracie, she's there. And she says, are you crying? I said, no, it's smoke from the fire. You know? But I had to look at that situation because, you know, there was other times where I'm all by myself in my truck out in whatever town, city, or state, and I got these emotions and feelings going on. And I called Glenn and said, man, I'm so wore out from fighting these feelings. He said, I'm proud of you, Paulie. I'm so proud of you, you know. Just let them happen. It's okay. And those are the types of stuff today, you know. I mean, like I say, by coming into the rooms, I've got so much more than freedom from active addiction. That is the, you know, the top. But all the other stuff, you know what I mean? Like I say, I got a relationship with my children. I'm working on a relationship with my ex, you know. But anyways, like I say, that transpired from a convention where a gentleman was sharing and he said, everybody who's got kids, stand up. So I stood up. He said, everybody who's not with the person they had the kids with, sit down. I sit down. And there's still people standing. And he said, those are unresolved issues. I said, And the seed was planted. About 6 years later, I figure I ain't never been in that relationship, let alone any other relationship where I wasn't doing something. You know? She tolerated me for 23 years. Let me give her the benefit of the doubt. You know, and try to see if this will work. And it's like anything else, you know? There's good days and there's bad days. It's just a matter of being able to work through it. You know, even in here with the step work, with the praying, with the meditation, with the reading the texts, with talking to another recovering addict, your ultimate weapon, a recovering addict. We'll take a break from that. Not today. I'll call tomorrow, you know. Procrastination. Here we are. You know, it's really not that hard if have that willingness, the open-mindedness. I'm looking at Rick here saying, man, I got to this state and I asked Rick to give me a job thing. You know, I mean, the job's going to call you. Can you give him a reference? He don't know me from nothing. But he had faith in me. And told him, yeah, I'm a decent person. I can do this, you know. And I'm eternally grateful for that. You know, it takes all of us. Everybody that's here tonight, I am so grateful for you to be here, because without you, you know, where would we be? You know, Lisa there, she's the one that registers my site for 2 years in a row now. I'm not that literate. I don't have email and that kind of stuff. You want an email address? What the hell is an email address?
I don't either.
I got a smartphone that I'm getting a little too smart with. You know? But like I say, you know, I mean, the truth of the matter being is that, you know, I did pretty much what I wanted to do for a lot of years out there. You know, and when it comes, like, with relationships, with my children, with people in general, this, you know, the main speaker, he talked about this misinformation. And it made sense to me, because I ran on what my thinking was of, as far as with the resentment, with anger, with not wanting to participate in things. I was going to bring this little thing tonight, a sheet of paper I got in second grade. It said, doesn't do well with others and resists authorities. They give it to my parents. Why wouldn't they give it to me and let me know, you know? It was like, you know, this is the stuff that, you know, I mean, we don't ask why this is happening. You know, second grade, I'm removed from general population and put into this little pod of kids. And I got this guy that wants me to put a round peg in a round hole. And I'm grabbing a square one and saying, hmm. You know? It's like, you know, no one, you know, I mean, I think my old lady's a bitch at times because she's always busting kids about washing your face, brushing your teeth, cleaning your room. None of that shit went out of my house. That's all new to me. I'm saying, you're a pain in the ass. Leave him alone. But that's, I guess, what parents do. You know, I mean, first time I had my boys alone, I was in a halfway house. They spent the night with me, you know. I was like one at a time. The halfway house didn't like it too good, but, you know, shit. We took a group's conscience of the guys in the house, and they all agreed with it, but the administration had problems. Something could have happened. Well, yeah, something could happen. You know, but just for today, it didn't. And it meant the world to them. You know, it meant the world to them. Like I say, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, I was able to finally hear what y'all were saying to me. That, you know, I mean, this too shall pass. Shit's still going to happen. You know, I like the Just for Today reading, and, you know, that more will be revealed, because when I'm, you know, ain't caught in the grip, I look at more will be revealed and says, yeah, welcome. You know, good feelings pass, bad feelings pass. You know, it's just how I perceive things today. You know, that message of hope, the promise of freedom. And I, like I say, the gratitude list gets real long. And when I'm caught in the grip, like, y'all. You know, because I thought that was another thought I had coming up here saying, you know, you got a mouth on you. Sometimes I do, but out of respect, I'm trying to, like, say, can't tone it down a bit, because Gary Earl told me I have a direct way sometimes of getting my point across. You know, that's the truth. You know, sometimes I need to think before I speak, because I say the truth, and the truth hurts sometimes, but it's just the truth, you know. June 15th. I thought I was leaving the state of Virginia. You know, me and the old lady, we had a good old little, I call it group conscience. And I was abstaining. And it's all about my, you know, I mean, Glenn will tell me, you know, you can't give something you ain't got. And I try to throw that in her way, and it's like, we ain't buying that shit. You know? You could take me to dinner once in a while. You could go places with me. You know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, and the worst part is that she has me pegged. And she wants an answer. I want to know now. I'm like, she said, so why do you go to that meetings? You're so nice to them people. I said, so I don't kill you. And that was my answer. We're in the parking lot by the red line down there at that little mall. We're going to buy a new car or trade one in. I don't even know. And it's like, just go get the damn car. You know? Why would you buy me a car if you're leaving? If you want the car. You know, I really don't care about the car. I'm trying to work with you. You know? And it's brand new. And I am, you know, like, whatever amount of years out there, you know, with all the people. I mean, the women I've been with, I don't even know your name. It wasn't important. I was just there to get mine. There's no feelings, no names, no none of that shit. After we're done, you go, I go. You know, I mean, knock on my truck door and say, hey, you want party supplies or company? I'm clean today, just the company. You know, then it got both. You know, and I remember San Antonio, Texas. Delivering cars. I showed up, pulled in the truck stop. It's New Year's Eve. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. Get out of the truck. Walk over to go get a cup of coffee. Car pulls up. This is back, you know, when I first come in. I was 5 years clean. Told Glenn I'm the truck driver. He said, okay, good luck with that. You know. I didn't really realize what I was giving up. The contact with you, the meetings, because it's pretty hard to get a charge trailer in some of these meetings. You know, and I understand today when I call the helpline that they may not be so willing to come pick you up because they don't know who to pick it up. And I understand that today. At the time, I didn't. You know, you son of a bitches. I'm calling for help and you ain't, you know. There were people that did pick me up. Long story short, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. On the way to get the coffee, the car pulls up. You want a company of party supplies? I said, yeah. Get in that car. Show up at a place where everybody's got guns but me. I was like, damn, you know? I don't even know where the hell the truck is now. You should come out of the house looking like a rabbit. You know, spitting pelts. You know, okay. You know. But long story short, when I got back to the truck stop, I remember that night, and they call it the perfect ass whipping. Mentally, physically, spiritually. Crawled in my coffin sleeper, you know, total disgust. Couldn't look at nothing. And I said, you know, like Grandpa said, you know, I don't want to live like this no more. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, help me. From that day on, you know, I got plugged back in. You know, I could change jobs every now and again with that. You know what I mean? I start to make my job work with my schedule. You know, before it was, you gotta get that load, you gotta deliver that load, you know. Now it's like, well, I gotta do that. It'll be like, we got a bad day. I said, no, bad day is when I sell your damn truck, all the freight on it. You know, that's a bad day.
There you go.
You know? Because I would normally not say nothing. You know, this job, one job I had, I'm home every day. Look, I drive all night long. What good is it being home every day? You know, and they kept me out for like 3 months once. I went in there and threw my keys on the desk. What are you doing? I ain't doing this no more. You know, oh, all right, well, we'll work with you. You're a good driver. All right? This has to come first. You know, if you're brand new here, if this is your first time to this camp out, the broader the base, the higher the point of
freedom.
You know, I can't play games with this no more. You know, this shit comes back, you know, without warning. You know, it talks about making bail. I bail it out. It's arrested at some point, recovery's impossible. It will make bail. And you'll be the one posting it. You know, I do miss doing H&I. You know, that's one thing that I do miss doing. I mean, that was one of the greatest gifts I ever received, was by going in and just, you know, just being able to identify how you feel today. You know, we've all walked in them shoes. You know, that the anonymity, the equalness, the shoes, you know. Dude here went to Spain. I mean, what? Look at the journey we've been on, where we've gone, where we showed up. And the blessing was that a dude that got out of this one jail, his name was Mike, showed up at the meetings, started getting involved with H&I. And I'll tell you what, that was through the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you find someone who believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery. You get honest. You tell people, I mean, my first addiction, once the truth, was masturbation. Right? Once I knew how to do it, hell yeah. This is the shit we don't want to talk about. You know? We don't want to say, oh, man. Y'all did it. You know? Not so special. I'll share a truth with you. God took that feeling away from me about 15 years ago with a back injury. You know? I got a compression fracture. And like a fool, I'm trying to get it back any way, anyhow. You know? And that sent me on that escapade with, you know, pain, buying, selling, whatever. You know? It's just the thing is that whatever you're going through, you know, someone else has been. My sponsor said in my fourth step when I was writing, he said, if there's a name for it, somebody else did it, so don't take so much credit. You know, they talk about, you know, your sponsor being compassionate, have some, you know, insights there and things like that. You know, I wouldn't say he was compassionate, but he was straightforward and honest with me. You know, when I was calling a grip, he'd say, get out of yourself. I went to his house. He had a basic text on the kitchen table, a shotgun in the corner. Make a decision. I asked him last time I was at his house, where's the shotgun? He goes, I'm older. I keep it in the bedroom. You know? But through this all, you know what I mean? When I met him, he's 5 years clean. And we're working together. All of a sudden, he disappears. He ain't around. I'm like, you know? But he went through his shit, too. He goes through his stuff with relationships. You know? So I don't own all this stuff. You know? I mean, it's life on life's terms. When I'm in Walmart counting your items, something's going on with me. You know? And that's what I gotta do, is always look at me, my part. What is my part in it? Am I willing? No. Am I honest? Are you lying, cheating, stealing, Paulie? Kind of, sort of, maybe. But then I got to be able to say, no. No, I'm not. You know, and it's limitless. The program is limitless. You know, I mean, I belong to the Brand area, but I'm a member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I got a wonderful home group. You can't even get through a reading without them saying, you know, find your home group. You know, it's like, oh, okay. I'll take that with me when I leave Virginia. There's a gentleman here that said ding when they do the readings, George. That ding will stay with me the rest of my life. You know? Cindy shares her experience with her children. You know, I share mine with mine, you know. My oldest boy was in this thing, and I can't make his decision, but he turned out to be a fine young man, you know. He turned out to be a fine young man. He's got a sponsor in Florida that he picked. He walked up to the fourth step. And I got a little worried because I said, damn, I know a sponsor. Now, you know, he's telling a sponsor his shit. You know, I'm like, oh, God. You know, oh, hell. But Dana Esmond, I talk with him a lot too. You know, I love him. He's giving me names for all over the country. Wherever I'm going, I call Dana. He's got a name. He's got a connection for me. You know, go here. They'll take, you know, hook you up. And you'll be good. That's the part. You know, I mean, I got to ask. Got Lord and making me zucchini bread. Oh, William, who says, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. One's too many and a thousand's never enough. You know? And with Laura, I've seen her jump for joy one night, and I was like, damn, awesome. You know, not afraid to share feelings and emotions. You know, it, like I say, you're just coming in these rooms. You don't even know the gift you've received by just showing up. You know, yeah, it takes us a while for the mind to open up, the willingness to come in, you know. I mean, like Jimmy said, we come in, we sit in the back. And gradually we move forward. You know, you get here, we're dead wrong, and it'll help you, help make you right. You know, I was talking to Phil, I believe is the main speaker's name. If I'm getting it wrong, let me know. But we were talking about some people that I, you know, I've heard their message. And Ernie H., you know, I mean, he gave me that message about that first one, you know. I mean, I listened to him talking about it, and he talked about this train scenario, you know, he said, you know, trains, right? He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, you know, when they lay on that horn, they're not warning you about the second car. And that made sense to me. You know, I don't know who's going to give me the message at that moment. I don't know when my mind's going to be open enough to hear it. But as Phil said, hearing other people's experiences, you know, it made sense. I've had his CD in my truck for a long time. And this week, last 2 weeks, it's been making sense. Mike, I've had a lot of sleepless nights. You know, and like I say, it don't matter whether you're sharing in front of 10 people, 20 people, 50 people. You got feelings. You got emotions. And you get through it, you know. It'll work. Whatever comes out of my mouth, I ask God, what are we going to talk about, you know what I mean? Let's talk about how freedom is today, you know what I mean? How you got peace of mind, serenity. You know, I got places to go, people to see. And like Gary R. says, every time he calls me, you know, we can't see through you, but we can help to see you through. Tells me he loves me. I can tell him that back. You know, and not be ashamed about it, you know what I mean? Not, you know. Whatever you went through as you were growing up, whatever you went through as an adult in life, you know, talk about it. You know, who? Did you say something? 5 minutes? All right. 5 more minutes, we got to go home. Remember that after you left your first meet, 9 o'clock at night, what do? What, no, I'm saying your first meeting, you go home by yourself. You got that phone list. I got my first original phone list from back in the day. You know, I'm not calling these people. Yeah. The insanity, you know what I mean, is that there's help available to you right here, right now. No. No.
I don't know these people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? These people are crazy. I mean, I remember going to a church and told me to go to the rectory. I'm not going to ask what a rectory is. I pretend I know. It's a snowstorm. There ain't nobody at the church. Rectory's across the street. But I'm at the church. What do? I go... You know, I mean, I have to say, you know, I mean, whatever I was using, whether it be, you know, whatever it was, went over to the place, got me, you know, some stuff to go, showed up at the house, and the lady said, what are you, crazy? I said, no, they told me she doesn't. No, we'll get to this. You know what I mean? It's gonna, you know, she didn't buy that shit. You know what I mean? Down the road you go, you know? But I don't know about any of these out there, you know what I mean? There's one thing I did want to read tonight. I mean, I shared at times that I came into rooms a petty thief, I came back a car thief. And I didn't think I was doing anything wrong at the time because I was only taking it about 15 blocks. I was going to leave it there, it would get impounded, the people would get it back. That was my thinking. One day, somebody stole my semi out of Fort Myers, Florida. I had feelings. You know, all my shit's gone, and the cops are looking at me. So, long story short, you know, what that did for me was to give me the reality of what I had done to people that I didn't even know. Because I got fired from my job that day. Now I don't have a job. I don't have, you know, the load was stolen. I mean, it was a fiasco. Taking videotapes of me and telling me, don't put no large money in the bank. Nah. And I didn't have nothing to do with it. But I didn't do it. You know? But then I got to think about the other people. You know, how their life was affected because I need to go 15 blocks. Don't leave your keys running in your car. You know? It only got to be a minute. It takes less than a minute. But before I close here, I can't even see this thing.
Here,
but
Paul, here.
Oh, look at this. Help! Hey! That is good! Okay. You may not relate to everything that you read here, just as you might not identify with everyone who shares in an NA meeting. But we hope that at least some of these voices will touch you and inspire you. In NA, we learn that an addict, we are not unique, but we are people, we are individuals, and our experience matters. Collectively, we are so much more than the sum of parts, some of our parts. Each of us, regardless of our clean time, or where we came from, has something to contribute by sharing openly and honestly, and something to gain when we listen with an open heart. You know, my fourth edition got stolen. I had feelings about that. But anytime I'm asked to share, I got to tell you the truth that my first basic text I stole. Now, there's two things I want to do before I close, if that's okay with the timekeeper. We got the okay, we got the blessing. Is there anyone new? One day to 30 days that doesn't have a basic text. Come on up. Come on up. Come up there. Gentlemen, give me an analogy on that. You know, he talked about this guy, Sammy Sosa. He said, you go to Walmart, buy a baseball bat, $20. Put it in Sammy Sosa's hand, it's worth $1 million.
That's
right. Yeah, Magic Johnson. Go to Walmart, buy that basketball, $24.99. Put it in his hands, it's worth $1 million. You got a basic text. You put it in the hand of an addict and it's a priceless gift. This basic text here is to complete 8th, and my 9th step is by returning it to a facility in New Jersey. Gary O will make sure this happens. What I would like to do is I'd like to leave it up here, and if you want, just put your name in here, You know, and a brief message, wherever you can find room in it, but I would love for you to be a part of this. You know, like I say, I can never repay the gift that I've been received. You know, I mean, you tell me it doesn't cost me nothing, but it costs something to become a member, whether it's through withdrawal, with losing your family, whatever you had to go through to get here, you got here. You all been through it. You're all here. You know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, the most important thing is to make sure the doors remain open. Carry the message of hope, a promise of freedom, and don't give up on, you know, that person. Don't sit there. Because, I mean, even in the Lordstown wide, you know, in the 12th step, it talks about that. I don't know who's going to get this and who's not going to get this. It's not my job. My job is to be available. The 12th step is by giving it back freely, you know. And I'm grateful. And thanks. Peanut butter and jelly.
We love you, Polly. You know.
Here.
All right, thanks, boys. Well done.